Midnight.
Hey, we can't find that on the radio.
Well, tune in to WBAI and you certainly will get an earful.
Yo, turn to that station.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
And you can ensure that WBAI is here for you now and in the future through WBAI's Tower Fund. Go to towerfund.wbai.org and contribute what you can to ensure that the room which houses WBAI's transmitter at 4 Times Square, which costs $17,000 a month, is paid through the coming year. Please go to towerfund.wbai.org or phone 212-209-2950 to help secure WBAI's future.
Hey, thank you to all of you for contributing. And we hope that you are, we hope that you will decide to make a contribution in support of this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station.
The previous program was the WBAI Evening News, and that's heard daily at 6 p.m. Stay tuned for Justice Matters. This is Matter. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
Good evening. What can a poor boy do but be the leader of a rock and roll band? Just a slight personal aside, that was always a dream of mine. Well, not always. I learned all too early that I couldn't sing, so I couldn't pursue that dream. You are listening to Justice Matters on WBAI 99.5 FM, publicly supported nonprofit radio. I am Bob Ganji, your host for the evening. In my other life, I am the director of the Police Reform Organizing Project, which is an organization devoted to exposing and ending abusive and racist policing in New York City. And racist policing will be one subject that we take on this evening. My guests tonight are Professor Alex Vitale, who is a professor of sociology at Brooklyn College, and the author, most recently, of The End of Policing. Alex, you with us?
I'm here, Bob.
Great. Welcome. And our other guest is Marianne Kasian, M.A. Kasian, who is an advocate and organizer for five borough defenders and an expert on legal issues, criminal law issues, and policing issues. M.K., you with us?
Yes, I'm here, Bob. So nice to be here. And hi, Alex. Happy to speak with both of you tonight.
All right. Well, we will proceed now. And I will sort of tee things up for you guys. Focus tonight will be on Eric Adams' mail tree and our concern that he will be pursuing in ways that are harmful to people in New York City, especially low-income people of color, who are usually the target of unjust law enforcement practices, and that he will, in effect, not sufficiently monitor or move to correct the practices of the executive agencies that are under his authority. We're thinking particularly of the NYPD, the new commissioner that he appointed, Keyshawn Sewell, just a couple days ago, issued a scathing memo that she had distributed to all NYPD personnel, scathing memo attacking the proposed policies of Alvin Bragg, who's the new Manhattan District Attorney, who's come into office as at least a kind of reformer and is generally included to be one of the people who occupy a district attorney's office and who approach it with a progressive agenda. And it's certainly my view that Sewell would not have issued such a memo and made it public if she didn't get a green light from Adams. His jails commissioner, Louis Molina, has recently gotten, well, what I think a lot of us would consider bad publicity for firing the woman who is the lead investigator of the department, who, and she went to the press saying that Molina had ordered her to get rid of about 2,000 investigations involving misconduct by correction officers. She refused to follow his order, and then he fired her. We have Rick Groper, who is one of the landlords of the building where that terrible fire took place and kills 17 New Yorkers, including 9 children. He's on Adams' transition team for housing issues. Adams also moved to appoint his brother to a high-level position within the NYPD. He's apparently since agreed to demote his brother, but his brother will still be the head of his security detail, and I'm sure receive a significant salary. So all these issues and other related matters are a concern to criminal justice reformers, and I think the three of us include ourselves in that broad category. Alex, you want to respond to these expressed concerns and related concerns? Your thoughts?
Well, I think this is a pretty clear indication of what we should expect going forward. I think we're going to see less transparency, more kind of covering up of problems in the criminal legal system, more cozying up to the police and corrections unions. And I think this is going to lead to more abuses. When, you know, Adams also, you know, showed up at a roll call the other day and said, you know, people, I want you to do your job correct, but people shouldn't be criticizing you. We all love you. New Yorkers, you know, want more of you. And basically signaling that, that the gloves are off, that they've got a free hand. And whenever you see that whenever you see that happen, you know, abusive policing emerges as a result.
MK, feel free to weigh in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely right. This, every move so far related to policing and the criminal legal system that, that now Mayor Adams has done has been a very really a naked effort to empower and provide more authority, more leeway, more wiggle room really to the police. And it's kind of incredible to hear, because Alex is absolutely right in saying that it'll be less transparent, there will be less accountability, there'll be less of all these things that people are demanding, considering that we're on the heels of an administration that was not known for transparency or accountability or for reigning in the department. So what we're seeing really is that amplified, which is very, very concerning considering what the last 8 years looked like, right? We had the NYPD driving cars through crowds of protesters. We've had, you know, officers like Wayne Isaacs still on the force after murdering Delron Small. And so you have these things that are not, that were not handled under the last administration getting worse. Everything that Eric Adams has done has signaled a worsening of that sort of accountability process and reduction of policing here in New York City, which is what we really need to achieve justice.
Yeah, it is chilling when we talk about there being less accountability for the NYPD, when you consider that certainly, in my judgment, there has virtually been no accountability regarding NYPD practices in any previous administration that I could think of. So if It's been a dark night, and I think it will now be a pitch black night regarding these kind of issues.
Yeah, and just to kind of piggyback very quickly, I think that we saw some of that, you know, a long time ago under Mayor Dinkins, and he paid the price in regards to the NYPD who essentially rioted against him. And he did, you know, start the CCRB, which is something else that I want to kind of talk about. He supported the CCRB. And I think that's relevant right now because it was just announced that Eric Adams.
The CCRB, what does the acronym stand for?
It's the Civilian Complaint Review Board. So it is the agency that is tasked with independent oversight of the NYPD. Now, it's limited in its authority, both in terms of what kinds of cases it can investigate, but also in the fact that it is not ultimately responsible for discipline. So it can make recommendations, it can make findings regarding whether or not there was police misconduct in certain cases. And recently, that authority into the types of cases they could investigate was expanded. And that was under intro, I think it was 2212. I believe it was introduced by council member Vanessa Gibson, saying that the police no longer had sole authority to investigate themselves when there were allegations of either racist or other sorts of bias in policing. That authority was given to the CCRB. Now, it was just announced that Eric Adams and the mayor's office for the budget were making cuts to the CCRB, that there is not the funding that they were promised to create the unit that could actually be tasked with investigating these sorts of claims. So already, again, sort of with this theme of everything we've talked about tonight already, we have an $11 billion budget for the NYPD, and the first cuts that come are to the independent oversight agency that's tasked with overseeing what the department is doing.
Right, and I should point out, it's not only Adams and his commissioners who are weighing in with a pro-NYPD, pro-law enforcement agenda. We have politicians, we have some of the Republican politicians who are running for governor. They've already called on the current governor, Hochul, to step in to remove Alvin Bragg, who is the Manhattan District Attorney, from his office, even though Bragg has only been in office, what's today, January 13th? So he's been in office 13 days. And they're already agitating for his removal. And they're clearly going to make him a campaign, at least they're planning now to make him a campaign issue come November. I want to pause briefly to identify who we are. It's Justice Matters on WBAI 99.5 FM, publicly supported radio. Our guests tonight are Alex Vitale, a sociology professor from Brooklyn College and the author most recently of The End of Policing. And in fact, there's a new edition where Alex has supplemented some of the content of the book that came out several years ago. Has just hit the bookshelves. And also joining us is M.K. Kazian, who is an attorney and an advocate and organizer with Five Borough Defenders. On these issues, and we've pretty quickly put together a string of them. Very important, because we'd love to get calls and comments about these very issues. So we do encourage call-ins. The call-in number is 212-209-2877. Who are interested in raising questions, making comments, supporting Eric Adams and his current direction of governance, we encourage you. Please call us and challenge us. So these range of issues, what are your thoughts about the strategies that reformer types and other citizens of the city could pursue to counter and to push back against this trend?
Well, Bob, I think we need to do two things. One is that we need to continue with this movement of demanding real public safety interventions in communities independent of the criminal legal system. You know, Adams has signaled some sympathy for some of these kinds of investments, community-based anti-violence efforts and, initiatives to increase mental health services, to deal with juvenile issues differently, et cetera. So I think we need to really push him, especially through the city council budget process, to pony up those significant investments. On the other hand, I think what we have to do is closely monitor the impact of these policing and corrections policies that he's implementing. And, Bob, I'm sure you remember 8 years ago when de Blasio was taking office with these claims to dial back stop and frisk that we wanted to know, well, what's really happening? And one of the strategies we undertook was to do a court watch, to sit in arraignments and to see what kind of arrests are being made by the NYPD and who's being brought before judges. And I think we need to step up that kind of surveillance under the Adams administration as well.
Well, PROP, my organization, the Police Reform Organizing Project, is certainly going to devote a lot of energy and a lot of staff and volunteer time to continuing to monitor Raymond Parts, which is a very effective way of monitoring police arrest practices. I was going to turn to you, MK, but we have three people holding who have called in. Could you, the first caller, could you identify yourself and tell us where you're calling from?
Yes, I'm Elle from Long Island.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Elle from Long Island.
Okay, well, welcome to BAI. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, question and comment, and thank you for allowing me to speak. In regards to Eric Adams, his brother, I heard of that it was broadcast that his brother had retired for some years, and he brought his brother back from retirement, and the salary is $210,000. Now, I need clarity. Perhaps you can shed some light on it. And if his brother was retired, at what position was he?
Alex, MK, on the brother issue?
He achieved the rank of sergeant within the NYPD, and then after that he took a private sector job, as many retired police officers do, because they retire usually after 20 or 25 years at half pay, unlike almost anyone else. And he was in charge of parking procedures for a college. So the idea that he was then appointed an assistant police commissioner seems ludicrous. So as Bob mentioned earlier, that has been dialed back, and instead he's been put in charge of the mayor's security detail, which is also a good-paying job, and that will be on top of his NYPD pension.
Oh, it's a good question because it reflects Adams' sort of cockiness, but cockiness, which sometimes can be an admirable quality, but as if he is not only is his NYPD unaccountable, that he's unaccountable and unafraid to push the envelope when it comes to what could be called corrupt practices or self-serving practices. I believe we have another caller. Could you identify yourself and tell us where you're calling from?
My name is John.
Hey, John.
I'm from Queens.
Do you have a question or comment?
I have a question. It's concerning Mr. Bragg from Manhattan DA. you were saying that they were requesting for him to be removed from his office, and they were getting Hochul to try and do that. But wasn't he voted
in? There's
pressure
coming from some Republican leadership for Governor Hochul to do that. I think it's primarily a kind of grandstanding political gesture. I don't think there's any expectation that she would do that. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
That would be attempting to usurping the referendum. He was voted in.
That is correct.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, this basically happened in Florida. A local district attorney didn't want to implement the death penalty, and so the governor stepped in and basically took away her prosecutorial responsibilities, even though, you know, she's an elected official. So this is, as Bob said, this is a kind of grandstanding and political posturing, but it shows the contempt for the democratic process that these Republican leaders have.
Yeah, I want to just add to that also. I'd also point out that there are, you know, certain Democratic electeds as well who join in often, you know, from Hudson Valley, Long Island, and some of the more conservative areas in New York, who really are pandering by joining in these calls. And also, exactly to the caller's point, Bob, I just want to say Alvin Bragg ran on saying that he was going to do exactly what he's doing right now. This is not something that was sprung on people. This is not coming out of left field. Alvin Bragg has been very clear this entire time about what he would decline to prosecute, about what his policies would be. You know, all of these things were laid out very clearly during his campaign over and over and over again, very consistently. And so it really is, it is contemptuous for the voters, for the will of the people of Manhattan who gave him his seat by voting for him, to suggest that he should be removed through some other process.
Yeah, it's highly undemocratic. Do we have another caller? And if we do, could you identify yourself and tell us where you're calling from? Hello?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
I guess they left.
Okay. Alex, we don't have a lot of time left, but could you briefly explain to us what are the additional issues that you've raised in the new version of your book, The End of Policing?
Sure. Thanks, Bob. The book, you know, the original version looks at a whole host of things that police do as a regular part of their job and lays out what we could do differently. And I think there were some criticisms that the book didn't go into enough detail on how to address violence, which wasn't really true. There was a whole section on that. But I've added significant additional material about how we should think about the relationship between policing and violence and what we could do to address violence both in the immediate short term and in the long term. It also has some more information about my thinking about what it means to talk about police abolition. And there's also a discussion about academic complicity with policing. The researchers who make their living cooperating with police departments, getting grants from the Department of Justice, and then pass themselves on as independent, neutral, objective observers about policing when, in fact, they're part of the criminal justice system.
Well, it sounds like you've covered you've added some interesting new subjects, and I read the first book and thought I was very impressed with it, and it's a kind of a go-to manual for police reformers and people who promote the defunding of police departments and the abolition of police departments. So tip our hat to you for continuing to add to what's already a book that's already earned the status as a kind of Bible for our movement. MK, I know you wanted to talk a little bit more about the Civilian Complaint Review Board and what you see as a move on the part of the Adams administration to undercut what little authority it has.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have too much time left, so I don't want to take up too much of it. But I do just kind of want to say it just follows this trend. You know, kind of like with Alvin Bragg being elected by voters, the city council passed this intro that allows the CCRB, in fact, mandates that the CCRB is in charge of these sorts of investigations. And what you see is really a circumvention of what people are actually asking for, which is an empowered CCRB, right? When this was put to voters directly through amendments in city charter amendments during the election, every time the citizens of New York have decided that they want to expand the CCRB, this intro was a reflection of that. And yet there's a circumvention happening and undermining and undercutting, all in service of empowering the NYPD, which is what we see over and over again. And I also want to point out, I don't know if we've talked about this yet, but Eric Adams also appointed or sought to appoint Philip Banks III to his deputy mayor position. And he is a former police chief with the NYPD who was named an unindicted co-conspirator in a federal case. And I point this out not to suggest necessarily, because this is counter to the issue, that someone being charged or not or suspected of a crime is necessarily the be-all, end-all for their character. But rather, it's something that I think Alex does an excellent job in the version of his book that I have pointing out, which is that police themselves and supporters of police, such as Eric Adams, who seek to empower them, are more than willing to overlook the criminal activity of the police departments, of individual officers, in service of an empowered department in ways that they would consider to be soft on crime, which is something that they loathe to be in every other respect. And just the hypocrisy that we keep seeing, even this early into the administration, is just honestly kind of shocking.
Yeah, Adams is proceeding in such a way that he seems to be ignoring sort of the normal operating principles of governance. And when people come at him, and it's not just people like us, editorial board, city council people criticizing him, he brushes it all off so much, like so much dandruff on his shoulder. And it's up to people like us and elected officials, other elected officials in government, including we have a brand new, virtually a brand new city council. There's a lot more women, a lot more people of color, and a lot more progressive people holding offices. And we're expecting the city council to be an effective bulwark against some of the concerns and tendencies that we've expressed and discussed here today regarding Eric Adams. Childish Gambino, I hear him in the background. He's communicating to us that it's time for us to wrap up. Any final comments from Alex or MK?
Just that MK and I are working together on this gang project, and if people Google it, Google Gangs Coalition Zine, Z-I-N-E, they could support the GoFundMe that we're working on to do more organizing of folks who've been targeted as gang members.
Yeah, I can't recommend supporting that project enough. It's amazing. It is seeks to publish the voices of incarcerated people who are impacted. And please, if you can, go support. And in either case, check out the work of Gangs Coalition and Professor Vitale's new version of his book. It's incredible and so worth the read.
Yeah, and the NYPD's anti-gang work is another aspect of...
And why are you here progress. Today?
And if you're joining us on Zoom, right. Put your questions in the Q&A. If you're joining us on Facebook...
Well, tune in to WBAI, and you certainly will get an earful.
You'll turn to that station.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
And you can ensure that WBAI is here for you now and in the future through WBAI's Tower Fund. Go to towerfund.wbai.org and contribute what you can to ensure that the room which houses WBAI's transmitter at 4 Times Square, which costs $17,000 a month, is paid through the coming year. Please go to towerfund.wbai.org or phone 212-209-2950 to help secure WBAI's future.
Thank you to all of you for contributing, and we hope that you will decide to make a contribution in support of this commercial-free listener-sponsored radio station.